Welcome to Journal Club for January 6th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. There's been a lot of talk about GPUs lately, and almost all of that talk has either been about graphics processing, crypto mining, or machine learning. But there is a small community of developers who are thinking beyond those buckets. Developers who are wondering out loud, what if we wrote lots of programs to run directly on GPUs? What if we use their parallel structure to handle the concurrency problems inherent in all kinds of applications? This idea is broadly referred to as GPGPU. It stands for General Purpose Computing on GPUs. Today, we're going to look at a paper that embraces the GPGPU paradigm. The authors are building a SLAM system, a simultaneous localization and mapping tool, that allows a robot to map their environment and understand their position at the same time. We're going to walk through the problem they're trying to solve and take a look at the strategies they use to create their software in such a way that it can actually run on a GPU. But first, we need some background. What sets a GPU apart from a CPU? How does a GPU actually work? What kind of interface is exposed to developers to allow them to program for it? And what is that development process actually like? Let's jump in. A graphics processing unit, GPU, is distinct from a central processing unit, CPU, in both its architecture and its purpose. A CPU is designed to handle a wide range of computing tasks. It typically features a small number of powerful cores with large caches and high clock speeds. Most CPUs are optimized for single-threaded performance and a diverse workload. In contrast, a GPU is specialized for highly parallel tasks, such as matrix operations and graphical rendering. It features thousands of smaller, simpler cores that are capable of executing many operations concurrently. This makes it ideal for parallel workloads if the same operation needs to be applied across large sets of information. GPUs process tasks using a hierarchical execution model, where threads are organized into blocks, and blocks are grouped into grids. For CUDA, which we'll get into in a moment, a warp is a group of 32 threads that execute the same instruction simultaneously on different data. This paradigm is called SIMD. Single instruction, multiple data. Scheduling is managed by streaming multiprocessors, SMs, which execute multiple warps in parallel. To sustain throughput, GPUs rely on thread-level parallelism, which masks memory latency by switching to other warps while waiting for data. On the memory side, GPUs rely on a combination of hierarchies. Shared memory is fast and on-chip, and is accessible by all threads within a block. This is used for cooperative computation. Global memory is larger but slower, and accessible to all threads across all blocks. The interface exposed to developers for programming GPUs is typically a combination of API libraries, programming frameworks, and hardware-specific extensions. For NVIDIA GPUs, the most widely used framework is called CUDA, Compute Unified Device Architecture. And that's the framework the authors are using in this paper. CUDA provides developers with both a computing platform and programming model. CUDA allows engineers to write code using extensions for C or C++. First, developers define kernels, which are functions intended to execute on the GPU. These kernels are launched with a specified number of threads. Developers allocate memory on the GPU device, transfer data from host, that's CPU memory, to device GPU memory, execute the kernels, and then transfer results back to host memory. So why aren't more people doing GPGPU programming? Well, even with a system like CUDA, it's really hard. Writing efficient GPU code requires a deep understanding of parallel programming, including thread synchronization, memory hierarchies, and data partitioning. Developers have to design algorithms to maximize throughput while avoiding things like warp divergence and uncoalesced memory access. But the hardest part is the conceptual level. Remember that in CPU programming, sequential logic dominates. In GPGPU programming, developers have to think in terms of parallel execution, and that is just a lot more difficult than it sounds. Then there are the issues of debugging and profiling, which, as you can imagine, are both way harder when thousands of things are happening at the same time. To make this process a little easier, we've recently seen projects like the Bend programming language come about. Its promise is that it will allow developers to have a Python-like environment where they can write code that is intuitively easy to understand and have that code parallelized automatically by the tool. So it might not always be this hard to do GPGPU programming, but for now, it still is. So, with the stage now set, let's look at what problem these authors were trying to solve and why they thought GPGPU, and specifically CUDA, would be a good way to implement their solution. SLAM, S-L-A-M, that's Simultaneous Localization and Mapping, is a computational technique used by robots or any other kind of autonomous system to build a map of an unknown environment while simultaneously determining their position within it. Picture a ton of sensor data coming in and the machine needing to figure out where it is and what's surrounding it. This is not a new problem. It's used in autonomous vehicles, drones, and many other types of machines. Traditionally, it uses Bayesian filtering and other common optimization techniques. FastSLAM 1.0 and 2.0 were introduced in two papers in the early 2000s. These algorithms, which were advancements on SLAM, leverage particle filters combined with Rao Blackwellization to decouple the robot's pose estimation from the mapping of features. This means that the computational complexity is significantly reduced by treating the robot's trajectory and map features as conditionally independent. This allows each particle to represent a hypothesis of the robot's path while maintaining separate independent estimates of map features using Kalman filters. In this paper, the authors were trying to get FastSLAM 2.0 to run on a GPU. The question is, why? Well, as I mentioned, each particle independently represents a hypothesis of the robot's trajectory and map, and GPUs can simultaneously process the independent computations for each of the particles and landmarks. So it's a great match, and this is true for data association and resampling as well, as they both involve repetitive tasks across large datasets. So, how do they go about porting the algorithm to CUDA? Well, the system they built has six key components: particle initialization, particle prediction, data association, proposal adjustment, landmark estimation, and particle resampling. Each of these components maps roughly to one stage in a SLAM pipeline. They implemented each one as either a CUDA kernel or a series of kernels. We don't have time to dive into each one, but here's a few highlights. Particle initialization and prediction. These stages used a 1D grid of threads, where each thread operated on an individual particle. The kernel utilized shared memory to store intermediate results. Data association. This component required multiple kernels due to its complexity. One kernel calculated Mahalanobis distances between observations and landmarks and used shared memory for storing partial results. Other kernels implemented the JCBB algorithm to perform joint compatibility tests and find feasible observation landmark pairings. Proposal adjustment and landmark estimation. These stages used block-level shared memory to handle computations involving multiple observations per particle. Threads cooperatively updated the covariance matrices and pose estimates while maintaining synchronization. And lastly, particle resampling. They implemented stratified and systematic resampling with parallel reduction algorithms to compute cumulative sums and select particles based on their weights. Across all components, the authors tried to minimize access to global memory since it's slower. They also structured memory access patterns to encourage coalesced reads and writes, which further reduces latency. But there are a number of other optimizations as well. The authors used occupancy calculators to configure the number of threads per block and blocks per grid. This ensured full utilization of the streaming multiprocessors. They also implemented warp synchronous programming to minimize thread divergence and maximize throughput. Then they used profiling tools provided by CUDA to identify bottlenecks and refine kernel execution. Once it was all done, it was time to test it. The authors used a simulation that modeled a robot navigating a 2D space. The simulation generated synthetic sensor data, which included control inputs and observations of landmarks with added noise. They ran their implementation on an NVIDIA GPU and collected metrics like execution time, memory usage, and accuracy. They also ran a traditional implementation on a CPU to use as a benchmark. Overall, the results showed significant performance gains, with GPU parallelization reducing execution time by over an order of magnitude, while maintaining accuracy. So, I'd say their implementation was a success. It's worth noting that not all problems are like this. Not all problems are conducive to the GPGPU paradigm. There are a number of applications that it would make no sense to port over to CUDA. But hopefully, this has made you at least a little bit curious to know if some of your projects would run faster on a GPU or not. If you'd like to dive deeper into their implementation or read the pseudocode for some of the key algorithms in their system, then I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.